Hit my intro.
Blog Talk Radio.
So right here, right now, this morning, I'm going to prove to you something. See, a lot of people don't understand that churches are orchestrated by God. And I don't know about you, but I'm far ahead of myself already, right? I'm already going to a place where I ain't get to you, right? Okay, so let me back up a minute. Good morning. Glory be to your name, God. Listen, I want to thank you guys for joining me this morning. I want to thank you for coming out and giving. Oh, my God. I am so sorry. I don't know what just happened 5 seconds ago because it was like I had a power shortage for a second. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I know what it is. It's the enemy don't want me to get this out. But we're going to get this out just the same. Whether I get it out live or I get it out on a rebroadcast. It's going to happen today. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I want to say good morning to everybody. I want to thank everybody that come by to visit me, to say hi, and just leave an encouraging word in. And I appreciate it. I want to know that somebody out there is getting something from what God is giving me. With that being said, I'm your host, AJC, your Common Sense Christian, and I'm here just to give you another healthy helping of Christ. Ah, God! Good morning to you. But you see the title of our title this morning. It says, God has need of you. God has need of you. And I'm going to tell you that this is going to be more of an idealism or a walk down memory lane, so I can show you what I mean when I say God has need of you. And God doesn't make exceptions who he can use. So first, I want to explain the simple fact that whether you might be a teacher, you could be a teacher, you could be anybody, a fireman, you could be anybody. God needs you. God has need of you. And the reason why he has need of you is because of a certain thing. See, I came from a Pentecostal background. Yeah, I'm a Pentecostal from birth. Okay, touching it to the ministry. I'm a Pentecostal. And a lot of people don't realize that Pentecostal religion is pretty strict. We're pretty strict. But that was a good thing because it taught us a lot. It taught me a lot. I don't know about others, but it taught me a lot when I realized who I was and how I was following Christ. Because Pentecostal churches are those churches that when you go to church back in the day, you know, you used to be like, you go into the church and you got that person that's greeting you, right? And it's some old lady, right? And she's calling everybody baby. I mean, she's calling everybody baby. And she says, baby, come on over here. Baby, do this. Baby, do that, right? Everybody's baby. But she was so good at her job that you never realized that she was really telling you what to do. Let me show you something. Most pastors, they do this. They'll tell their greeters to seat you. But they want you to seat you in a specific way. So if you come to the church, if you come in early, they want you to sit. They want to seat you closer to the front of the church. And you say, why? Well, because if you come into the church late, and then you come from the back of the church, walking to the front of the church, it causes a dysfunction in the church. It makes you like, you know, people start to turn and look and pay more attention to you than what they doing. So he would have the greeters seat you, and they would seat you closer to the front and then start coming to the back. You didn't know that because you was just being so – it was just so nice and happy and smiling that you was there, happy to have you. You thought it was so good because you came in. But they were doing their job. That same old lady might see you coming to the church, and you come into the church, and you might be very revealing. or you might have some skirt on. It's not appropriate to be sitting in the front row. And you're coming to the church, and she'll sit you down. Then a few minutes later, she'll walk over there, and she'll ask you, do you want a shawl to put around your shoulders? Because it may be a little bit cold. Or she'll say, do you want a blanket to put over your lap? Because it may be a little bit cold, or whatever she might say to you. But what she say, what she said to you, she said to you so nicely. She said to you so sweet that all you could think of yourself was, oh, man, this person is really, this is a wonderful church. They really care about us. When in fact, she was doing the word of God. Because the word of God teaches us to dress humbly. It teaches us to not be a party to another man's sin. See, what you thought was being real nice and sweet, she was being nice and sweet, but she was also caring for the other souls in the house. She was also saying, listen, there's jokers in this church that may not be as saved as you think they are. They may not be they may not be what you think they are. So we're going to try to, if they're in the church, we're going to try to hold on to their souls. We're going to try to save their souls. We're going to try to keep them, okay? And when you coming in here, you know, you got married men and stuff in there. You coming in trying to get, you know, new converts. They come to church, and you walk in there just twisting and, you know, all of the men are looking. This is nature. It's not they trying to sin. It's just nature. And that was part of our church. That was part of what we did. God has need of you. See, what you got to understand, Mala Safi said, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. You might think that you're too old to get saved. You might think that you've done too much to get saved. You might feel as though that too much time has passed and you got too many things have burnt too many bridges, or whatever the case might be. Or you just might be tired of churches. Understand, or tired of what you conceive a church to be. But God has need of you. Listen to me. Listen to this, right? And the reason why I'm saying this is this. So every one of us have gone through things in our lives. Whether you're a drug addict, you're a cop, you could be a police, a fireman, you could be a newly saved prostitute or cleaned up, reformed, whatever they call them. But you have a story to tell, and what you don't realize is that God was speaking to you, and has been speaking to you all your life. You just may not have been paying attention to it. And then once you took heed to that voice in your head, you realize, oh, but that might be something I need to look into. That might be something I need to change. Let me tell you something. People say it another way, but I say it this way so that I can, because I'm the common sense Christian. I want people to understand what I'm saying. I don't want to give you a whole lot of scriptures and a whole lot of word and preach at you and holler at you. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. So that you understand that God is simpler than what a lot of people make it to be out to be. So let me show you something. Now, the thing about God is that you have to understand that there's certain things you have to do to qualify. You say, oh, you got to be a saved. Well, that's not the total truth. Yeah, you can be saved, but you got to do things to qualify. And you say, well, what do you mean you got to do something to qualify? Okay, let me show you something. So say if you wanted to go to a bank and You want to get a job at a bank. Well, I want to be a bank teller now. I want to be a bank teller. But you take your resume there, and on your resume, it shows for the past 15 years you've been a bank robber. Do you think that bank is going to just hire you? You know, you think they're just going to hire you? And if they do hire you, you think they're just going to have you touch your money? They may just have you sweeping floors or something. You know what I mean? But you think they're gonna put you in a position where you handle money when they know you're not good at handling money? So that's why we have need of you. See, I'm not here to replace the church. I'm not here to replace the church. I'm here to assist the church. because everybody don't understand when people start doing that thing where they start to sing out all their words, when they start to preach like it's bigger than life, when they start to use the words in syntax or context that you don't understand. See, when you go to church, it's an emotional thing. It's so much, we gather together because when we gather together, we gain strength. We gain power. We gain understanding through the gathering. Very rarely do we get what we need to survive. You get to church and he preaches a good sermon. This sermon is a wonderful sermon. It's a beautiful sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you're good to go. You get home, you happy, you ready, you round, you get to go. And somebody that hasn't gone to church in a while asks you, what was the sermon name? And you can't remember the sermon name. You don't know what. You were jumping, you were shouting, you were screaming. You were into the service 100%, but you cannot remember the sermon name. You cannot remember what in the world the sermon name was. Now, they ask you, what was the sermon about? Well, the sermon was about, and you might remember a portion of it, but you just sat through a three-hour service or hour-long service, and you don't remember half of it. See, what you got to understand is that church is meant to encourage you. It's meant to empower you. So you join different organizations and stuff. You get more wrapped up in it. Your life is a lifestyle, and it's meant to change your life. It shows you that there's a better way. And they do it not by just preaching and stuff. They do it through prayer. They do it through communication. They do it. A lot of it is used through context. So that's what church is. I'm not here to replace church. We all need church. We all need to go to a church. And I'm not saying that you have to belong to a church or anything like that. But I'm saying you need to go to church so that you can get the experience. You can get the energy. You get rebuilt when you go to church. Me, myself, you know, a couple times a month, I'll go to a different church. Or I'll go to churches because it's hard just pouring out all the time, you know, giving. And I need to go to a church, and I don't even tell them my title. And I sit back in the back, and I sit, find me a nice chair. Now, I may make a whole lot of noise back there, but I find me a good chair back there in the back somewhere where I'm not noticed, and I just enjoy church. There's nothing wrong with that. I say that to say this, that we have need of you. God has need of you. God has done something with you, for you, to you, that he has to do through you. See, you didn't go through hardship to keep it to yourself. That those trials and tribulations, those indiscretions and disruptions that you've gone through in life, they were meant for you to tell somebody else. You ever seen an inspirational speaker? An inspirational speaker is really just a person that's telling stories or telling his life story to others. Well, when you witness to a person, you're really just telling your life story to somebody else to show them that they can change also. That's really all it is. That's all evangelism is. You telling your story to somebody else so they'll know they can be changed. God has need of you. Scripture, Proverbs 3:14 says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart. What you got to understand is when he's teaching you, he's not teaching you just the good things. He's teaching you bad things. So he's showing you that you can be victorious over everything. He says, keep my commandments in your heart. The reason why he says keep my commands in your heart, because he needs you to understand that even though you're going through something right now, you're still going to win in the end. He needs you to know that he came to give you life and give it more abundantly. He came to let you know that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He came to let you know that there's more in store for you, and he has need of you. See, today I got to say to somebody that it's okay. You can be 8 to 80, blind, crippled, or halfway crazy, but God has need of you because you have a story to tell somebody. If somebody out there going through some of the same things that you went through, and God needs you to tell that person that they can make it. See, I don't know about everybody else, but I've had times when I've had no money at all, I've had times where I've had a lot of money. I've had times where I've been feeling so good. I mean, just super strong. But I've also had times where I've been so depressed and hurting in my body that I couldn't even want to talk to people. I've had times when I was just so elated by the things that was going on in my life, and at other times I was so mad at things that was going on in my life, I couldn't even stand myself. But God has need of you because he needs people to see the different changes, the different things you go through. He needs the world to know that you making it, you can make it, and that we can make it together more and more. I'm not here to replace church. I'm here to assist the churches. Because I believe that somewhere along the way, we got lost in some things. We forgot some things. We closed doors in some things. And I think we need to get back to that place where we become a family in God, where we become a family in Christ. That even though you might be the black sheep of your family, you can be the star of this one. Though you may have been pushed away from your family, you could come into this family and blossom and flourish. See, I'm not here to bash a church. And I don't think internet is here to bash the church. But I think you should be allowed to get all the views. That's why we need you. You have to be that person, that voice, to speak out your truth. Let me say something to you. Apostle Jesus House of Prophecy, that's our ministry. We are not trying to get you to be a regular, everyday follower. We want you to be a leader. We take you through a personalized years, depending on how long it takes you, of learning, of understanding, of finding God for you. We teach you everything you need to know to be saved. We give you the tools to get yourself out there so that you can have that voice to speak. And then we let you choose. If God gives you tells you it's time to go, we watch your back. You can call us. That's how I believe that God meant it to be. God didn't mean for us to have 30,000 people sitting in a church on a Sunday and then that same 30,000 people sitting in a bar on Friday. I don't think it was meant for us to have 10,000 people sitting in a church on Sunday and then the rest of the week, they're sitting at home cursing their kids out or getting beat by their husband. I don't think that's how God was meant. We have need of you. You have a testimony. And we need you to tell somebody about it. See, you think you got to be this big old preacher. You got to be this evangelist. You got to be this prophet and all this. You don't. I'm a simple old guy. I'm in love with God. And I want to tell the world that I love God. I don't want to, don't get me wrong now. I enjoy going to church, like I said. I enjoy sitting down in the back, and I like to hear people preach to me, and I like to hear the music, and I like to get involved. The Bible tells us that the disciples never spoke in tongues, came together in the upper room, and then they spoke in tongues. You gain power with people like people. You gain strength with the people that understand your struggles. You gain life when you know the people that you ain't walking alone in this thing. So the church is great for teaching and learning and understanding and gaining that power. But we also need the individuals to walk amongst the people that aren't saved, to walk amongst the people that are of natural-minded, to walk amongst the people and say, listen, it's a better way. God has it. Let me tell you something. It's a certain amount of people that God has in place just for you to talk to. They won't understand nothing I got to say, but if you talk to them, they'll turn them off. But if you never talk to them, if you never speak to them, they'll never change. God has need of you. Edgar Guest wrote a poem, and the poem was The Simple Things. I would not be too wise, so very wise, that I must sneer at a simple song and creeds, and let the glare of wisdom blind my eyes to humble people their humble needs. I would not care to climb so high that I could never hear children at their play, could only see the people passing by and never hear the cheering words they say. I would not know too much to smile at trivial errors of the heart and my hand, nor be too proud to play the friend the while, nor cease to help and know and understand. I would not care to sit upon a throne or build my house upon a mountaintop where I must dwell in glory all alone and never friend come in or poor man stop. God grant me that I may live upon this earth and face the task which every morning that brings and never lose the glory and the worth of humble service and simple things. What I need to say to you today is that not only God, but the body of Christ has need of you. Your circumstance, your situations, your everything about you is unique. We need your words to come forth to hit, to touch our soul. We need your words or your testimony to show us that it's all right to mess up. It's all right to be wrong. It's all right to make mistakes. But it's more important if you tell me that I can still make it. See, you look at me sometimes and you might say, man, I want to do that. But what's stopping you? Or you say, man, I got a testimony. Then what's stopping you from telling somebody? You know, I told my pastor years ago when I first got started, my first assignment was I had to learn to be dedicated, responsible, obedient. That was my first assignment. And even to this day, it was one of the hardest assignments I've had. I mean, like my pastor would tell us stuff like, you know, if you're sick, come to church. If it's raining, come to church. If it's snowing, come to church. If you don't feel good, come to church. If you ain't got no that much money left, throw some of it into church. She said because the church was the house, was God's house, and anything you needed, you could get it from God's house. And throughout my time, I realized that He's going to get everything. God's going to give you everything you need in church. One way or another. It may not be every lesson you learn in church may not be a good lesson, but you're going to learn it. You're going to learn it. And if you learn it and apply the Bible to it, then you can understand it. So for me, I was that guy that I would go to church, and as the second church I was a part of taught me praise and worship. They taught me to release my soul to God. Now, you got to get the picture. I was a 200-pound bodybuilder. I was in the gym lifting 300 pounds on a regular basis. I was squatting 600-700 pounds, like with no problem, right? Curling like a madman. And I would go to church on Sunday. And the church, the spirit in the church would get so high, I would fall out. Like literally, like, bam. I laugh about it now. Because in one instance, when I fell out, they told me the pastor touched my chest, and I flew across the room. Right? It was really crazy. It was really crazy. So I laughed when I thought, because I was also doing videotape. So I looked at the videotape, and I laughed about it, and I didn't understand. But I didn't understand that when that happened to me, it was because I was so high in the spirit. I was so high in the spirit. And that's the thing that was making me, that made me fall out. That was the thing that the spirit flew me across the room. That was what they did it to me. It was just me being in that place, being in touch with God, being so high in the spirit that my body shut down. But you know what? I can remember one thing about every time I fell out. When I woke back up, I felt like I was so rested, so at peace. It was beautiful. For the next hour or so, after I got out of the church, I was like floating on clouds. Like being high without no alcohol. It was wonderful. And I say that to say this. Because when we come together, as a group, we encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We lift each other up. It's amazing. I mean, if you get into the flow of it, it's wonderful. But if you're not there to tell me your testimony, if you're not there to walk with me as I go down this lonely road, if you're not there, can I still get that? Will I still have that? You know, when you look around, and you see the diversity of the people in the church, and you see that you're not alone. Listen, I don't know about nobody else, but God told me to tell you that he has need of you. He needs your presence. He wants you to be with us. And I don't care what age you are. I don't care how long you've been saved or how new you've been saved. You have a purpose in God. And I say to you today, push towards that purpose. Push to, if you're going to be standing on a corner hollering out to somebody, praise God. If you're going to be singing a song, if you're going to be sweeping the floor, God has need of you. Don't think lightly of it. You have a voice. If you can sign language, if whatever you can do in the house of God, or whatever you can do for the body of Christ, because you're not completely saved. Nobody's completely saved when they first walk through the church. And even every day, we daily cry out, God help me, because we don't know what they're gonna bring. God help me. Anyway, before you go out today, before you get mixed up in this crazy world, take a moment. Think about your life. Think about how you can help somebody else. Think about how you can tell somebody about the Lord. I'm your host, AJC, your conversation Christian. And I want to tell you today, I love you. And wherever you might be going, take God with you. Be blessed. Thank you.